Good morning, everybody. I was going to call whoever was putting songs together and request Christmas songs today. I'm glad we sang that. Thank you, Jim. I guess I don't want the season to end. It's been very enjoyable for me. I've just enjoyed my family. And that's nice. I wish you were all here for Jim's class, because it was a good intro to the lesson that I'm about to present to you. God works in wonderful ways. Jim and I did not collaborate or talk. He knows not what I'm about to say. I didn't know what he was going to do, but they just mesh. It happens all the time. God is a wonderful God, and he works in our lives to make good things happen. So, it's December 30th, 2018. Tuesday is January 1st, 2019, New Year's Day. And where did the time go? It seems like I just returned from Hilo, but that was 8 months ago, and it's as if it was yesterday, and I don't understand time. I just am baffled by time sometimes. Sometimes. That doesn't figure. Anyway, I would like to pray before we start and ask you to please pray for me that I say what God wants me to say. I don't want to say what I want to say. Anyway, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may your name always be kept holy. May your kingdom come. May what you want done be done. May it always be here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us the food we need each day. Forgive us of the sins we have committed, as we also forgive everyone who has done wrong to us. Keep us away from temptation. Rescue us from the evil one. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Some months back, I passed out a piece of paper here at church with the title, Statement of Faith, Philosophy of Life. To the best of my knowledge, everyone got one. God's lesson today shares some of the information gathered in that exercise. So really, those of you who did this work helped with today's message, and I thank you. I want to acknowledge the people who returned these. I could feel as I read them and sense the great amount of work that it took to definitively put this down on paper, what you believe. Some were very simple, while others were loaded with scripture. But the real point of the whole exercise was that you made the effort to do it. And I would suggest to you that you're going to make this effort many, many times in your Christian walk. Because as we grow and mature, our statement of faith or our philosophy of life is going to change and mature, hopefully. So it will change as we grow in Christ. Some of you may have forgotten to do this, or maybe you misplaced it, and I understand all of that. If you want to go through this exercise, I have more sheets, and I encourage you to do so. This work, and it is work, is for you. It's for me. It is for us so that we can plant seeds in the hearts of others because we know how to articulate what we believe. We can say it to others. If we don't know that, I don't know how they will ever hear the truth, because they're certainly not going to get it from the world or from news. There's been a lot of work done lately with several Bible classes in the works. Our vision committee has been working. The preacher search group has been working. The Friends Speak program, although slow to start, is working. There's a lot of things going on. And I'm sure I'm neglecting to mention something. I want to thank all of you who've given yourself in service to God. It is a service. There's a lot of work to do, yet it seems to be of little importance to some because they don't dive in and help. And that's up to each individual. We make choices in our lives. And I don't want to browbeat anybody, so please understand I'm not trying to do that. Our statement of faith, I know you can all see this with your excellent eyesight, especially Reyes. What I did was I took the answers, and these were really essay kind of answers, to 10 questions, and I listed them. I didn't give people's names or anything, and I just want to kind of go through these quickly and then talk a little bit about it. The first question was, I believe God exists because. One answer was design, historical, and the Bible. Another, he made the universe in Genesis and all that is in it. We are his caretakers. His son Jesus died to save us. Well, I believe that, but I don't know if that's why God exists. But I'm not going to argue that. I think this is different for everybody. You know, we all are at a different place in our spiritual walk. Here's one. I believe the Bible to be inspired by God, and as so, show the way to be pleasing to him. Romans 1, 19 and 20 says, what can be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. Since the beginning of the world, the unseen qualities of God, his unseen eternal power and his divinity could be clearly seen and understood from what God made. They have no excuse. Another one. I see the world around me and everything living and everything, oh, every living thing, excuse me, I must be dyslexic, every living thing, and refuse to believe that something so amazing was an accident. I believe the Bible is true and is God's inspired word, and that God created the whole universe, world, and everything in it, including the laws of science. And this one cites Genesis 1 and 2. A second question. I believe this about God. Okay. God is truth and overall. He created man so he could have communion with him. God loves us unconditionally. In every nature and character, God is higher and greater than I can understand. God is real and living and active. And there's many scriptures cited here. For the sake of time, I won't give you all of them, but if you want them, I'll give them to you. God is jealous. He is holy, eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere. Here's number three. I love God because he gave me the choice to love and follow him or not. We have the choice. Here's one. He first loved me, sent his son so I could be with him, and he acts in my life daily. He first loved me. He takes care of me and provides for me. He gives me hope, comfort, purpose, and peace. And again, there's a lot of scriptures cited here. And I think that's good that we have that, I guess, in our arsenal of tools to use. But I encourage you to keep it simple. Because I don't know about you, but the older I get, the less and less I am able to memorize scriptures And I don't like that, but if that's the case, you have to figure out another way to get there, you know? I obey or follow God because I'm a Christian, one of his followers. His way is the best for me, and all I come into contact with and pleases him. I love him. I am his creation, and he is my God. I want to go to heaven and spend eternal life with him. Number 5, I believe Jesus is the eternal Son of God because no one has ever lived, died, and risen from the dead as he did, promising to return for those who are his kingdom. I like that. I believe the Bible and the scriptures tell me, and this person cited several scriptures. Jesus was with God in the beginning, John 1:1. Number 6, I believe Jesus lived briefly on the earth because of historical accounts. It's written in the Bible. There is historical evidence. He's mentioned by Jewish and Roman historians as well as the Bible. And believe me, those folks were not believers. So I don't know why they'd write about him unless he was historically true and accurate. 7, I believe Jesus sacrificed his physical life for the sins of all people because, I love this, he loves us warts and all. He did as his father asked. You know, and that's something too. He obeyed his father even though his flesh was screaming, I don't want to do this. He still did it because he obeyed his father. He loved his father. Number 8, I believe all people sin, but I believe we can all be forgiven of our sins. First baptism, then asking for forgiveness. Confessing our sins to him and trying to live more like Jesus. Believe Jesus is God's Son. Repent of our sins and be baptized into Christ. Many, many scriptures again cited for this. Number 9. I believe I should become like Jesus in character because as a Christian, I'm to be Christ-like. That's a good one. Because that is the best way to live and show him to others. As a Christian, that is my goal. Scripture tells me to. He sets the standard. And number 10, I believe that when my physical life ends, I'll be in paradise until the judgment. I will have eternal life of joy in heaven. I will be taken to heaven because I'm a Christian. I have the hope of eternal life with the Father and Son. I have the confidence and hope of eternal life with him if I remain faithful. I know I went through that rather fast, but this is the kind of exercise that I mentioned before we should do periodically because we do change. We grow, hopefully. Your philosophy of life might have many names. Worldview is one of those names. It is just a term meaning how you interpret reality or what you believe to be true. As far as I can tell, we each have a philosophy of life. I'm sure our beliefs have been greatly influenced by the thoughts of those we read, those we watch or associate with, and public schools have added to our shifting view of the world. We teach our children about God, and schools deny the existence of God. No wonder our children are mixed up and confused. We live in a confusing world. Today's worldview has been most influenced by religion and science. If science teaches us that the planet is part of a closed system, I hate these these glasses. A closed system, and the earth is winding down with limited resources, and in time will simply use itself up, then a worldview of scarcity is likely to result. People are going to be worried because they don't know what's going to happen. If science were to teach us that the universe is alive and this planet is part of a living, infinitely abundant universe, and that the energy winding down is also matched by energy winding up in sort of a back and forth exercise of expansion and contraction, then these folks are told that that energy can be cleanly and harmoniously used in our lives to provide all that we need, then we're likely to believe that evolution is ongoing and there's plenty to go around. If you don't hear anything else I say today, I hope you hear this. The key is that our belief system determines what we think is possible, and what we think is possible influences the results we create or we allow in our lives. And this is happening so quickly because the exchange, rapid exchange all over the world through technology, is shaping the condition of humanity everywhere. The cultural shift in our world is making a decisive break with the shared values and meanings of the past. Even in the past, people that were not Christian, they clung to those ideals. They knew they were good and right in their hearts for some reason. That's not the case today. This move affects the values that convey the deepest questions of purpose and the nature of human life. And really what is at stake is how we understand the world in which we live. It is a world created by God, or it is a world that just sort of happened and it's left up to its own devices, and who knows where we're going. I don't think you have any more choices than that. A Christian worldview recognizes there is a great spiritual battle raging for the hearts and minds of men and women throughout the world. Christians are in a spiritual war, a global struggle between Christian truth and a morally indifferent culture. For this reason, we need to shape a Christian worldview. Our life view or philosophy based upon God's word will help us to learn to think as a Christian and to live out the truth of our Christian faith. The reality is that everyone has a worldview. Some worldviews are not very coherent. They're kind of a smorgasbord of options, and they pick from the natural world, the supernatural world, the pre-modern, modern, and post-modern options, whatever they feel tickles their fancy, I guess. A thoughtful worldview is more than a private personal viewpoint. It is a comprehensive life system that seeks to answer the important questions of life. A Christian worldview is not just one's personal faith expression. It is not just a theory. It is an all-consuming way of life, applicable in all spheres of your life. I believe there is a definite Christian view of things, which has character, cohesiveness, and unity of its own. It stands in sharp contrast with the counter theories and speculations of the world. A Christian worldview has the stamp of reason and reality on it, and it can stand the test of history and experience. They've tried to destroy the Bible ever since it was written down in words, and it hasn't been done, folks, and it will never be done. A Christian worldview stands or falls on its integrity, its truthfulness. You can't pick and choose what to believe or what not to believe and then have fellowship with God. They don't go hand in hand. A Christian worldview is not built on two or more types of truth, religious truth, philosophical truth, scientific truth, or whatever other truth you might throw in there. But it is based upon God's universal principles. It is an all-embracing system that shapes religion, shapes natural and social science, shapes law, history, health care, the arts, the humanities, and every discipline of study with all of its applications for our life. It is complete. It is all. I say all of this to let you know you cannot bounce back and forth from a secular worldview to a Christian worldview and hope to have any purpose in your life. I've tried that in the past. It doesn't work. You just end up confused and you throw in the towel. So I suggest you don't go that direction. Followers of Jesus must articulate a Christian worldview for the 21st century with all of its accompanying challenges. We do this to show how such Christian thinking is applicable across all the areas of our lives. At the heart of these challenges, we see that truth, morality, and a desire to understand the God of Scripture are being ignored, if not rejected completely. So these challenges are alarming, but throughout culture, the very existence of truth is being challenged, and you and I know that there is truth. There are gray areas, but there is truth. For Christians to respond to these challenges, we must hear afresh the words of Jesus from what some call the Great Commandment in Matthew 22:36 and following. Here we're told to love God not only with our hearts and souls, but with our minds also. Jesus' words refer wholehearted devotion to God with every aspect of our being. From whatever angle we choose to consider it, emotionally, or choosing to act upon or exercising our will, or our cognitive abilities in our thought process, whatever it is, this kind of love for God results in taking every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ, as we are told in 2 Corinthians 10:5. This is a wholehearted devotion to distinctly Christian thinking. We see life from a Christian vantage point. It means thinking with the mind of Christ. I guess really for an individual, the beginning point of building a Christian worldview is a confession that we believe God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. We recognize that in him all things hold together, as found in Colossians 1:15-18. All true knowledge flows from the one creator to his one creation. Period. There's a scriptural principle, a command, if you will, that echoes my encouragement that you learn how to tell your story, your faith in God. In 1 Peter 3:15, we find these encouraging words. Make a special holy place in your hearts for Christ, the Lord. Always be ready to give an answer of defense to anyone who asks you why you have the hope inside you. But do this with gentleness and respect, having a clear conscience. Then those who say evil things about your good lives in Christ will be ashamed of the abusive things they said. 1 Peter 3, 15 and 16. You probably recognize the prayer I said at the beginning of the lesson. It was from Matthew 6, 9 through 13. This is part of what's called the Beatitudes. But if you read further, verses 14 and 15 continue, if you forgive people of the things they have done wrong to you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. However, if you do not forgive people, then your Father will not forgive the wrong things which you have done. That's Matthew 6, 14 and 15. I don't know about you, but as I grow older, I find myself truly seeking to accept others where they are and let God work on their lives and try to show God through my behavior to them. There's a sequence that you go through with that. You meet somebody, you kind of like one another, you're able to talk and all, they feel comfortable. Someday, they're going to ask you, what makes you different? You got to be patient sometimes and wait for that day. Anyway, I believe that I should be gentle in my interactions with others. Now, I know there's a time to be bold and a time to just put your foot down, but I want to be gentle because I want God to be gentle with me. Matthew 7:2 tells us, you will be judged by the standard which you use to judge others. You will be measured by the measure you use to measure others. Mark 4:24 essentially says the same thing. Jesus said to them, be careful what you hear. Did you hear that? Be careful what you hear. What you hear affects you. What I hear affects me. What I see affects me. Be careful. He continues, you will be measured by the measure you use to measure others. And then Jesus adds this caveat, even more carefully. A lot is expected of Christians, but Christians have a lot of power through our God. And we can exercise that, or we can sit back and be afraid to do what he wants us to do. Luke 6, 37 and 38 says, don't pass judgment on other people and you won't be judged. Do not condemn other people and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give to others and it will be given to you. You will be given much. It will be poured into your hands, shaken and pressed down more than you can hold. It will be so much that it will spill over into your lap. The measure that you use to measure will be used to measure back to you. And in verse 41, we have this sobering statement. Why do you see the speck of dust in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the wooden pole that is in your eye? We have selective vision sometimes, I think. I want to go back to my question 10, if you'll allow me. Brothers and sisters, we are all guilty. And we all need Jesus Christ. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to. You need to come to him with a humble heart. Pride will not work with God. Humility is what he wants. You need to come to him desiring to be an obedient servant. And if your worldview does not include the God of creation, you need to examine your beliefs. You need to really sit down and determine to align those beliefs with your Creator. Question 10. I believe that when my physical life ends, I'll be in paradise until the judgment. I'll have eternal life of joy in heaven. I will be taken to heaven because I'm a Christian. I have the hope of eternal life with the Father and Son. I have the confidence and hope of eternal life with Him if I remain faithful. I'll go to heaven. My invitation to you is that you respond, if you can't answer that last question, the way these folks answered that last question. If you don't know what's going to happen to you when you die, you are in dire straits, my friends. And I pray that you will give yourself to God. I don't know what else I can say up here to touch your hearts. But God loves us and He wants us. He wants us to be family. And I don't know about you, but I was with my family this past week, and I loved it. And we are family. And I love being here with you. And I know I'm not a preacher, and I know I talk too long, and I get all scatterbrained and everything. But I love God, and I love you. And I want to work for Him, and I want you all to work alongside me. Because sometimes I get tired, and I can't do it. And sometimes I'm just stupid, and I blow it, and I need somebody to pick me up and say, hey, that's not how we're supposed to be. Anyway, I've talked too long, and I apologize for that, but I ask God to use me, and I hope and pray He used me. And I hope and pray you heard His word and you will consider these things. Thank you. If you need to respond to God's calling, please, please come forward as we sing.